Hello, and welcome back to Pop a la Carte, episode 36. Mission report, April, whatever day it is, 2018.
Because we don't know when we're publishing, so it'll be whatever day that is.
Yes. We are continuing with our very new tradition of only telling you one thing at a time, two times a week. And this time, we are telling you about Civil War. The Captain America version, not the American history version.
Or the Syrian one that's happening right now.
Or the Syrian one.
We're not getting into politics
or literally history. Nothing useful. Just Marvel.
Yes. So. Because we're so close to being done with this fucking.
It's true. It's only got like two weeks left before we.
2 weeks, four movies.
Yeah.
Because we're not doing Black Panther because it's not out on Blu-ray.
Right.
Even though I really want to see it again before. Yeah.
I mean, we could see it again.
We could.
Just wouldn't be.
We're not going to have time.
It wouldn't be adding more money to their pile.
So. Let's give them all the money. Anyway, I'm Valerie.
I'm Tatiana.
I don't know where to start. I have 2 pages of notes, guys. 2 pages of notes.
We all knew but she I can't would read have half a of lot them. Of feelings because the movie revolves around how much Steve Rogers loves Bucky.
It's true. I actually was thinking about that. You know, like, the part where Zemo is talking about how he spent a year studying and learning Cap, and that's what he comes up with. Mm-hmm. He's like, that he can see that Bucky is his greatest weakness.
Right.
And that's the way to get to him. And it makes you wonder, because, like, I do think a lot of it is, you know, there's a reason that Peggy dies in the film.
Because you can't have her pretend to kill T'Chaka.
But it's, I think it's, we've talked about it before, and it's the idea of Steve Rogers is seriously fucked up and nobody realizes it. And he has some serious PTSD because Man at a Time, that kind of sucks. And then he was just immediately thrown into being an Avenger.
Yeah.
And then S.H.I.E.L.D. and everything goes wrong around him all the time. You got to make it, like, wonder, it's like, is it me?
Right.
At a certain point. Mm-hmm. But, it honestly feels like the only person who gets that is some random guy who looked up stuff on the internet and was like, you know what? This guy's messed up.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that
against him. A bit lonely for Steve there.
None of his friends get it.
Yeah.
At all. And yeah, that's basically the problem is he's so screwed up that, like, Bucky is basically his brother. And they obviously, like, their bond was important and everything, but you've also, I don't know that he would be quite so crazy and go to quite the extreme if he weren't having.
Right, if he had, so if issues. He was more fulfilled in his current life, then he would have
some
be reaching
therapy
out.
After being brought out of the ice, maybe he would have been a little bit more reasonable.
Yeah,
and not so dickishly stubborn. As the Honest Trailer calls him.
Right. Dickishly stubborn.
Whereas Tony was being stubbornly dickish, that's right. Just Tony. There's no getting around that.
Yeah.
It's too late for him.
I was going to say, like, it is one of the, I guess because it's really hard to make it a Captain America movie when it's basically an Avengers movie, but
yes.
By centering it on sort of how fragmented, if you will, Captain America's psyche is at the moment.
Yeah.
Right? And how much he's lost and what he's trying to gain back. That's, like, the way that it, that the only way that it really feels like a Captain America movie. Because for the most part, it's
really Avengers 2.5.
Team fights. Yeah. All the, like, outtakes from the two Avengers movies whenever they're fighting each other.
Because I'm sure they bicker often.
Yeah.
As people who love each other do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. And people say that the Marvel movies don't have, like, really iconic music. But they really do.
Mm-hmm.
If you act, like, I don't know. They do.
And if you have an ear for music, which
I
do not.
Every time it gets to the fight in the airport,
mm-hmm.
and then especially again at the end, the way the theme is turned on itself, the Avengers theme is turned on itself, and it just becomes so tragic and just depressing. Because, yeah, this is not happy fun times anymore. They're not fighting other people, they're fighting each other. And it's depressing.
That is depressing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in the end, it's sort of, they're not really back together.
It's just, no.
You just write a nice letter to you know, friends that you're mad at, and then hopefully.
I'll always be there.
Yeah, right.
I'll always be there for you.
I hate your guts
my
right
flip
now,
phone.
But yeah, exactly.
Who does he think he is, Daniel Day-Lewis?
Call me on my flip phone.
I really do think, like, half of Tony's face at that point is, like, really flip phone Steve. I guess that's what you get for burner phones.
Right.
Is that the thing?
Yeah, I think. Although I feel like now burner phones can be, you know, whatever you want them to be.
Yeah, whatever.
We've reached a new height.
But who wants to pay $700 for a burner iPhone, right?
Right. So, I would not. I would not.
Yeah.
But yeah, going back to the beginning of the movie, yeah. I'm sure there are other things that happened in your 2 pages of notes.
In my 2 pages of notes. I mean, they are in order, because obviously...
Because you watched the movie in order.
Yes. Although there was one point where I almost wrote something down, and then I was like, no, that hasn't happened yet. So I'm not going to
feel like I already have feelings about it.
I was already thinking.
No, I was, you know, like... From the beginning, when they used the, you know, like, Bucky 1991, which is, like,
yeah,
where in 1991, and you didn't know what it was at first, right?
Yeah.
So I thought that was intriguing, and it wasn't as, I remember being, like, disoriented by, was it Age of Ultron, where it just, like, yeah, because it just starts, I'm like, this is the middle of our battle, and,
yes,
you know.
In the middle of the battle, yeah.
Yeah, and so just having that, like, little bookmark of, like, we're going to come back to this, this is going to be important later.
Yes.
Was, I think, it was easier for me to follow, and also maybe the huge lettering also helped, I don't know. So it was easier for me to follow first, even though it did jump around a lot in the first, like, however many minutes, 20 minutes.
Yeah, it jumps.
Yeah.
You jump, like, several places right away.
Mm-hmm.
Although not as much as, like, what is it, Guardians?
Yeah, Guardians jumps a lot.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Yeah. But yes. Which is why they have to give you those big placards.
Right.
Especially when it's, like, Austin and... Austria. And Berlin, because it's, like, eh. It's European cities. Any Americans, like, I don't even know.
Yeah, like,
most of them have never left the country.
Right. Yeah, you really distinguish one from the other. Yeah. I did like that Black Widow and Wanda spoke for a few lines. That's rare.
Yeah. That happened, didn't it?
Yes.
Do women ever speak to each other again in the movie?
That's what I'm... I don't know. I don't know if they do. Because Wanda spends the whole time isolated after that.
And
she's got Daddy and Steve talking to her. Yeah, Sharon only speaks to Steve and... Or she might say, follow me in Scarlett Johansson's presence. I don't forgot her name. Black Widow, Natasha. She says, follow me to, like, the group. And
so that counts.
I think Black Widow is there. Yeah. So there you go.
That's pretty bad.
But yes. So I'm glad that they were, like, training her. I like the idea of her being, like, you know, she's, like, the newest Avenger.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, you know, the child that Steve has never had and probably won't have. So
yeah.
He's, like, sort of.
Because he may or may not still be a virgin, and probably is going to die one.
Right.
Although maybe if he got, you know, it'd be nice if he got lucky while he was Nomad, because he's not Captain America anymore, so what is he there?
Mm, yeah, that's true. Knows? We don't know. We don't know what he's doing between...
No.
Between Civil War and Infinity.
Except traveling with Natasha, but then they're not like that.
No, they're not like that. And, yeah.
And they're not going to be like that, which is... I think nice, because I actually really do like
yes,
their
Yes, I do. I love their dynamic. I think it's really great.
I love when she comes to Peggy's funeral.
Yes.
I really like, and, you know, he's like, well, then why are you here? Because she knew she wasn't going to convince him, and she's just like, I didn't want you to be alone. Yeah.
And we don't
Even
know
Sam was there.
Who
I didn't
texts
want you to be alone.
Him about Peggy's death, right? It's just a number.
Yeah.
So it's not even someone he has saved in his phone.
Nope.
That's how disconnected he is.
Yes.
From the world.
Does he not put people's numbers in his phone?
Maybe. He still doesn't know how
to use
phones.
He remembers them.
Yeah.
That's what he had to do in the past, you know?
That's right. And now it's easier. It's easier because now you see the number,
yes.
Right, written on the phone.
There you
Perfect.
Go. Yeah, no, it's just some disembodied, I don't know, like a nurse at the home or something.
Now, one thing I did not like, and this is mostly down to, like, I don't have a problem with Sharon. Like, I don't ship it. I don't think it's well done. But,
yeah.
Like, Sharon as a character is fine. I think she's cool, but I don't like Emily Van Camp's performance.
No.
And I don't
unfortunately.
Know. Yeah. Like, even from her at Peggy's funeral when she's giving the speech, like, I don't really feel like she's sad. And I also feel
that speech is
perfectly designed to be, like, to Steve and about Steve, looking right at fucking Steve's face. Like,
because part of that speech is Steve's in the comic.
Oh.
She actually
so she's saying
the whole mm-hmm. The part the really important part that's really at Steve.
Yeah.
Steve says that in the comic. So yeah. She actually gets one of his speeches.
See, I wouldn't... It would be less weird if she wasn't, like, looking at his fucking face saying yeah. it. Like, just say this.
It's because even though they're in the middle of a funeral, apparently she wants to jump his bones. Right. Which is really just kind of creepy.
She sees him and is like, it would have been better if she hadn't seen him. Right? Because, like, that line where she was like, and that's why I didn't tell people who I was related to. I was like, please. Please stop. It's her funeral. You don't have to...
I didn't want anyone to know we were related. It was kind of weird. But I'm here giving her eulogy.
Yeah. It was very odd. But anyway.
It is funny, though, because, like, yeah, I know they're supposed to be really big in comics, and Peggy's not. But nobody likes Sharon in the movies. And I don't know how much of that is the way it was told, because they spent so much time on Peggy, or just because of who they got to play her.
I mean, it's probably a combination. Like, it would be a little bit more even-handed. A little bit, not that much, but a little bit more if it was a stronger or a more compelling actress.
Yeah.
And if it was more fleshed out over the course of two movies.
Yeah.
Because the way that they wrote that dynamic in Winter Soldier was also kind of just like, eh, you know?
And then they immediately followed that by Ultron.
Yeah.
Which is where, right?
Ultron comes after, in between.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, where we flash back to Peggy again.
Right.
So, it's hard to, I'm like, what am I supposed to believe? He actually cares about this person when he's obviously still, like, obsessed with Peggy.
Right,
like,
even in Winter Soldier, she was just one of the options.
Yes.
That Natasha's pointing out of, like, however many, you know?
Although I totally saw something the other day where somebody was like, what was it, about the shared life experience line from Winter Soldier. Mm-hmm. And they were like, and then you spend the entire movie showing how literally no one works for him, and then Bucky comes back. And I was like, I don't ship it. I fan ship it, okay. But I don't canon ship it.
Still shipping it, it's fine.
I don't canon ship it, but I was like, you know, they have a point.
Yeah, and you know, maybe it's just... You know, it's...
Which I think in some ways it's actually, she's supposed to fill that too.
Mm-hmm.
Sharon is.
Right.
And that's the point, because she's part of S.H.I.E.L.D. So it actually would, and she's an agent.
Yeah.
And
they do have the shared life experience. It's just that
I think that what they're really trying to do is partly push her, but then they don't do a very good job with her characterization. And again, with the actress, and I don't think they really have chemistry.
Mm.
Not, you know. Chris Evans has great chemistry with pretty much all of his cast members. Like, I honestly would believe him and Tony more than I would him and Sharon in these movies. That's
I would
bad.
Certainly I would certainly believe him and Natasha more than I believe him and Sharon. So, but yeah,
and I don't know.
I feel like
the only good thing about her character in this movie is the reaction of Sam and Bucky to the kiss, because that's hysterical. And the way Steve's just like, oh, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Like, that's hilarious.
Ruining his moment.
I love that. I actually, like, we have, there's not official Hot Toys, but there's, like, fake ones where they're made almost the same, but they, like, they've made them in their street gear.
Oh, okay.
And I have the Steve and Bucky one, and I wanted the one with Falcon, and then I wanted to get a little Beetle, and I wanted to put them in that car, and that was how I was going to display them, because I, like, the idea of the three of them
so
in
that car is, like, freaking hilarious. Iconic scene, clearly.
And no, Steve, that is not a low-profile car,
right.
Because everybody looks at a Beetle and is, like, amazed by them still. That's not, it doesn't
that
work not, as a
that's
low
true,
profile.
But it's not
you
very
would
low
actually
profile.
Be, you should have gotten a Corolla. Nobody pays attention to that shit.
There's
a million of them.
There's a million, right. Or you know what else there's a million of? A Nissan Altimas.
A Camry?
Yeah.
They were in Germany, Matt says.
Oh, okay. So Beetles are,
so
know,
are there
people,
a lot of
people,
Beetles? I've never been to
I guess
Germany.
That is a German car.
You've been to Germany.
That is a German car, so I
are
guess they would
Beetles
be.
Beetles everywhere in Germany? Well, I mean, Volkswagen, yes.
Yeah.
But Beetles specifically, especially the old ones. You don't know. He's been to Germany. That's been a long time.
I'm not observing enough, clearly.
Yeah. All right, fine.
But yeah, and they also did a pretty good job with
BMW would have been a more... That's German.
That is also German, yes. Very nondescript.
Anyway.
They also did a really good job with the Tony side of things, I think. One of the things that I like about Civil War is that I feel like they are both making logical points. Like, everyone... Like, everything that everyone says, I'm like, yeah, you did, like... you are, like, killing randos, but you saved a lot of randos. Oh, but, like...
I think what's really hard is, like, if you look just on paper, mm-hmm. the two sides, Steve's is the one that makes the most sense. Mm-hmm. Like, it does. I can understand the argument for Tony's side, but it's, no. Once you know the layout of the entire MCU, no, it makes sense for Steve's side, but then they're both being assholes about it. Because it's like, okay, Steve, but you do need to talk to people a little bit more. And explain, and nobody's listening to each other, and that's one of the biggest problems, because it's like, yeah, I mean, at the airport, Steve's trying to tell Tony there are more Winter Soldiers. He thinks that's the big problem, right? Mm-hmm. And Tony just isn't listening. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, can you guys just, somebody take 5 minutes and just, yes, let's mediate the two of these, let's have some arbitration, and let's just figure this out. And not just start punching each other, but, you know, that's the problem.
Nope. They just set a punch there for, like, 10 minutes. Yes. I don't know how long that airport
scene is. It is an exciting fight.
It is. It is a great-looking fight.
Yeah.
And it has lots of different, like, moving parts and cute little banter in between.
Yes. You have a metal arm? That's awesome. That's Matt's favorite.
Aww.
I think Spidey gets the best, like, one of the best moments really is his reaction to Giant Man.
Yes.
Oh, shit. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also love Sam's I Hate You to Bucky. Because that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good moments in there. Natasha, like, we're still friends, right?
Yeah.
How hard you punch me. That's a great one.
Yes.
You're pulling your punches. That's good. Yeah. There's lots of really good banter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a really good moment. Although, it's funny, watching it now, because I've seen it like 8 million times. Although I haven't watched it for several months now. Which is a long time
for me. So it's like you're watching it for the first time.
It was like I was watching it for the first time. There were parts where I was like, okay, but where is, like, Wanda been this entire time? Because there's a really long time where, like, you don't see her interact in the fight.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden she's part. Like, there are moments like, and that's, it's impossible to
You can't really keep track
of. Or to keep track of everybody.
Yeah.
Vision disappears for a while. Things like that. You're like, okay, but I saw everyone else, and then that person was just gone. It's like, they should have been doing something.
That's true.
They did have a very good time.
So it was not a perfectly edited sequence.
No, pay attention to that.
Yeah.
You know, I was paying attention, because I'm paying attention to the little thing.
Yeah. That's what you do at time 800.
Yes, exactly. And when you're taking notes, because you're going to talk about it on a podcast, and you have lots of things to say.
Exactly.
I don't know.
But yeah, even Tony's, I guess, like, from the moment that they started Tony with his flashback to his parents, where he says, I love you, to his dad, like, it's like things like, you know, that
what's gonna
something's
happen.
Happening with the parents. But I do love that, even though the CGI for, like, young Robert Downey Jr. is a little bit, like, disconcerting.
It is really disconcerting. Mostly because it's really, it's well done.
Mm-hmm.
But it is kind of creepy.
It's like that Uncanny Valley thing, right? Or, like, you know it's not real.
Yeah.
But, like, it looks really real. Then you're like, is it just Robert Downey Jr. looking really good today? Or...
yeah.
What's happening?
Yeah.
But I do love that moment. It does make me, like, a little bit teary. Like, I'm like, oh, can't change it. Can't change the past.
Can't change the past.
Yeah.
$635 million.
Right.
Something like that.
And he's like, and then
therapy?
Yeah. And then
has Tony been in therapy this entire time? Because he really should be.
Right,
but I don't think he has been.
Yeah. And then it just makes me mad right after when they're like, "Oh, we broke up off screen."
Yeah, because they couldn't afford. But it was interesting. Mm-hmm. That's why, like, when she comes back for Spider-Man: Homecoming,
spoilers.
Robert Downey Jr. was the one who was, like,
insisted,
basically convinced Sony to. It's like Sony has money.
Yeah.
So hey, bring her back.
Yeah. Which I'm glad for.
Also, what convinced me that he's gonna die? Because you basically got it. It felt so much like, I mean, we shouldn't be talking about this now, but it just feels so much like a
here, 3 days
she's
before
back. They're happy,
right?
Maybe kind of, sort of engaged, and then he's gonna die. But then she's back in Infinity War. So.
Well, that's when he's gonna die.
No, he's gonna die in Avengers 4.
Oh, I see.
I'm assuming she's probably in Avengers 4 too.
She better be.
And
they better get married, and then he can die right after the wedding. So that I can
been married for 3 days.
Exactly.
And then she could say something like about how she's pregnant with this kid, because that'll be what happens
obviously,
next, right?
Obviously, at that
this
point.
This is a soap opera.
You're right. After right? he dies, she's like, oh, well, at least I'm pregnant with his kid, so we're good.
The Starks will continue.
Exactly.
We'll have another genius soon.
And then Shuri.
No, we have
like,
Shuri. There,
exactly. Shuri will like train Peter, this genius so child. Have, exactly.
Peter Parker, yeah. not Peter Quill.
Not Peter Quill, not a genius.
Not a genius. Genius. Sorry.
Anyway, sorry. Back to anyway. Captain America Avengers Civil War.
Captain America 3 Avengers 2.5.
Yeah.
Civil War. Yeah. Okay, I'm like looking at my notes. You know, I was actually surprised that like that's all we got of Crossbones.
Yes.
Considering like it was really set up in Winter Soldier, and then it's like, and he's in the movie for 5 minutes and he's dead.
Yeah.
And we're done.
But I will say I don't like that actor.
I hate him.
So I don't care.
I hate that actor.
I just remember that
he
like
me out.
And yeah, and on the I think he was the one that was on the Chelsea Handler like
it was really
talk show.
Uncomfortable yeah. with things he was saying. It yeah. was like that's really not
that's not correct.
On a,
yeah.
Like you really shouldn't be saying these things anyway.
Right.
Let alone on a talk show that people are going to see. Like, maybe you can joke around, like, you know them. Uh-huh. You can joke around with them in private.
Yeah, but you know it's being filmed.
But you know it's being filmed and it's going up on Netflix. It's really awkward.
Yeah, and everyone's faces were like...
Yeah, you could just tell they were like... can we move on now?
Yeah.
And of course, they kept that in. Because,
right.
Like, let's...
Because that's the good stuff.
Yeah, that's the stuff they would have
wanted. But yeah. So, bye, Crossbones.
Yeah.
But I guess it, you know, it was good setup for the Accords.
Yeah.
And the Civil War.
They just needed some kind of reason yeah. and then to get rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, dude.
Yeah.
We'll do more Purge movies.
Oh, God, that's right. That's what he does.
I don't know what else he's been. Uh-huh. I don't really care.
Right.
Yeah. Ross is back. Where is Betty? That's one yeah. of my notes. That's one of my notes. Ross. I have another note, by the way, that I can't read.
Also, is Everett Ross
working.
Her, like, cousin?
I know, are they related? I think that's
Rosses.
Why they have to keep saying Secretary Ross.
Right.
It's like, two different Rosses.
But yeah, it is cool to see Ross, so I'm glad. And but Hulk wasn't in the movie even, so...
Yeah.
It's not like
and
he's
then,
gonna have a reaction.
When he lists all the shit that they've done, I'm like, hello, you forgot Harlem. That was your fault.
Right.
From The Incredible Hulk. That okay. was totally...
You did say that. You're like, that's on you.
I was like, the abomination, that's on you. That was completely, totally your call. But we're going to ignore that because it doesn't matter.
Right, yeah. It's not. I mean, plus, Hulk wasn't there, so yeah. are they going to be like...
You'd think Tony would, but Tony was on his side, so I guess yeah. he's not like going to think, like, because yeah. he knew about that.
Right, that's
there was
true.
That scene where he had the thing, the that's screens, true. And he knew what was going on. Yeah. Zemo is the... this is actually a note from early on, but, like, mm-hmm. oh well. Zemo
works.
Is the only successful Marvel villain.
He got what he wanted.
Quite literally. Like,
yeah.
no one else has actually accomplished anything yet.
That's true.
Everybody else fails.
Yeah. Zemo had a very complicated plan.
Very, very complicated
But it
plan.
Was worth it.
But I don't think... It's hard, because, like, there... You know, people complain that it's too convoluted and it, like, if one thing had gone wrong. But it was like, well, it, you know... He walks away at the end. He doesn't even watch them fight or anything.
Yeah.
I don't think he needed to be there. So, like, parts of it were, you know, they didn't come there. He's going to find a way to make sure that they get the video.
Right.
Like, you know, mm-hmm. yes, it works out in the movie because that's more dramatic.
Right.
But, like, I don't think necessarily it was going to need to
Yeah, and also I feel like that's a little bit, like, what... You're just, like, trying to suck the fun out of your viewers.
Yes.
If you're sitting there, like,
exactly. like,
it shouldn't have worked like that, because, like, well, it
because
did.
This one what if this one thing hadn't happened?
Yeah.
And then, if, yeah.
Right. So I was like, so, no, he had a very good and detailed plan, and, I mean, I guess you even saw that when he was questioning that one Hydra dude, and he's like, tell me, and he's like, oh, if you're not gonna tell me, I'm gonna find another way, I just wanted you to tell me. But,
yeah.
oh well.
He actually
know.
Tried to, like, have a shortcut.
Yeah.
He didn't want to do all of the terrible things that he did.
Yeah.
He just wanted to make them fight and kill each other.
Right. Now, my question is, mission report, whatever the fuck.
December 16th, 1941.
Thank you. So he knew what it was already, or he just knew this is gonna be...
I'm guessing...
This is the secret.
I was actually thinking about that when we were watching it, too. I'm guessing... He saw that in the Hydra files,
mm-hmm.
that there was something with the Winter Soldier that date, and maybe he knew something about what happened to the Starks.
So he's probably putting it in his mind. Yeah. And just wanted confirmation.
Because, you know, you have those two pieces of information. Yeah. You can kind of work out what probably happened. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I'm guessing that's what it was.
Okay.
But he needs the mission report because he needs to know that that's actually what happened.
Right, because he can't just go tell him, like, hey, this definitely happened. And then
the Winter Soldier did something. I'm sure somebody could have come up and been like, there's a million other things that bad things that happened that day.
Right.
So, unless Bucky's there, like, no, actually, I did kill them. Yeah. That's what, yeah. I wish he wasn't going to volunteer that information, obviously. Right. Yeah, I'm guessing that's what it was. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, maybe something in the files. You know, he sees, maybe, in fact, in The Winter Soldier, Zola does, he's the one who gives Steve the information that says that they basically were assassinated. So maybe that's what he's seeing, is that somebody assassinated them. He may not even see that something went on with the Winter Soldier. He may just see somebody assassinated them, and he just assumes, well, maybe that's what it was.
Yeah.
So now I need to see that file.
Okay. That makes sense.
I don't think, when Steve says he knew, like, when Tony asks him, did you know? And Steve says, I didn't know it was him. But then he just asks him again. I think it's the same thing of, he gets that information from
Zola. And he assumes he can extrapolate it.
And which is exactly what all of us did when we saw that movie. We're like, oh shit, it was totally Bucky.
Right.
And then, yes, this movie confirmed that. So that's probably what it was. Something like that.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Let's see. That doesn't really matter. We'll just cut this out.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Matt. Matt is our conductor, and we are not.
Remember, at this time, we didn't know that Black Panther had powers. Unless you had read the comics, which, yes, I'm sorry, I haven't read the comics.
Right.
Although I did call Matt on this shit, we don't actually own any Black Panther comics. We own comics that he is in, but we don't own any Black Panther ones.
Tisk, tisk.
So we are epic failures.
Have
the recent ones come out in trades yet?
Maybe. Yeah, there are some recent trades.
Oh, well, we haven't bought those yet. We haven't gone to the Half Price trade booths. I'm trying to get him to talk, and he's not.
There's a Half Price trade booth
at me. At Comic Con, there's like 800 Half Price trade booths. So we usually go, oh my god, is that the. Oh, I need. Matt is now showing me pictures of the hot toy.
The hot toy? Are they called hot toys because they're just hot dudes?
They're now the HAWT toy.
Oh my god.
It is the Captain America from.
From Infinity War?
It's actually kind of creepy. He looks good. It's really good, though. I have wanted that one. Is the beard real, or is it plastic? Do we know? It's gotta be real, right? Well, I mean, like, fiber of some kind. Hmm. Yeah. No? It's plastic? Oh, that's just sad. That's a letdown. But I want that hot toy. I need all the hot toys. Mm-hmm. I have 5 Steves? Already?
I think I have five Steves?
Yeah.
Why do you have any Steves?
I have 2 from the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Do we have the first Avenger one? No. We have the Avengers and the Civil War, and then there's... No, I have 1 from the Winter Soldier. It's 2 from Civil War. Because I have that fake hot toy that's not real. Which doesn't have feet, right? We still don't have feet for him. Anyway, long story. That's not interesting. Okay, yeah, so we didn't know Black Panther had powers until the Black Panther movie. I was like, oh, right. It actually makes. I thought it was just his vibranium suit, and like literally anybody could put that suit on.
I did know that he had powers because I've read comics, obviously.
Yeah.
But I do agree with you that if you did not read the comics or you did not know anything about Black Panther, if you just watched the movie, you would think that the dude just put on a suit. The suit was like. Extra could contain or you know hold off blasts or whatever you want to call
yeah,
it.
Yeah, the vibranium, because
yeah,
I mean the shield,
just
can,
like the shield.
Yeah,
and that like Natasha, he just knew how to fight good, and that was his. And that was his.
He's
power.
Been trained,
and he had little you know claws on his suit like he's Wolverine. So there you go, done.
Just very short Wolverine claws. Yeah. Yeah.
So they did not necessarily explain that he had powers, but I guess they didn't really need to for this movie. Like
no, for this movie yeah. It works. But it is interesting to watch
knowing that he does, because this is the first time I've watched it since watching Black Panther.
Right.
And so it actually does make a lot more sense, because then it makes sense that he can, because the suit shouldn't be enough to have him be able to go toe-to-toe with two super soldiers.
Right.
In that way. But if the flower
basically
makes him a super soldier serum. Yeah, it is the same thing. It's just a natural version of the super soldier serum.
I think, like, watching Civil War and then Black Panther back to back would be very interesting because T'Challa is, like, very ready to fight and very against, apparently, diplomacy in this movie. And then after his, you know, dad, after he, like, I guess makes peace with his dad's death and then decides not to murder everybody involved, he's like, oh, hey, maybe sometimes we can work together with people for a better tomorrow. And his dad even says he had to convince T'Challa to come out for this signing and stuff, because I guess T'Chaka wanted to open up the Wakanda borders or whatever. Because he talks about, like, improving the world or whatever as they enter it. Yeah. So it's, and then in Black Panther, now it's T'Challa who wants to do that, even though.
But it takes him a while.
Yeah, it takes him a while. But it's like, interesting because it's so much of like, oh, I'm not my, he literally says I'm not my father in this movie. Yeah. And then Black Panther is about, all about how he's not his father. And what things he chooses or doesn't choose. But it's funny because
doesn't Black Panther, now I feel like I need to watch it again. I mean, I saw it like
obviously
times.
You do.
Doesn't it kind of like talk, I mean, there's the part where he goes back into the spirit realm or whatever it is, and he's talking to them and he's just like, no, you were all wrong to keep us from the rest of the world. And it's like, well, but your father was kind of starting to open up.
Yeah. That, so I feel like, I guess it was like a late in the game thing that T'Chaka started to do and then it didn't go anywhere, right? So maybe it's like, he spent a lot of time being isolationist and then, and then
I suppose
T'Challa's only thinking about the other part. Or alternately, the continuity for Marvel wasn't as good as they thought that
we
it
was. We would have to watch, now I need to go see Black Panther immediately so that I know and it won't help for this podcast, but whatever.
I do think there's like a bit of a shift between T'Challa and the other thing too is that you could argue is he's obviously a much colder, guarded person when he's outside of Wakanda, and then in the movie you see him arriving and now he's very different with
because we don't know how much experience he's had outside of like, has he traveled much the rest of the world? Does he know? I mean, that Black Jeopardy would make it seem like he hasn't. He doesn't know the rest of the world at all. Wakanda is a very different place than America. But yeah, it does beg that question of, has he spent much time?
Or right.
Do they, you know, they are isolationists. Maybe they're just hanging out in Wakanda all the time because, like, I mean, it looks awesome. Why would you
leave? Right, why would you leave? Unless you're going to go be a war dog spy.
Yes, apparently.
Which T'Challa did not need to do.
Nope. Yeah. But at least by the end of this movie, he is basically the only adult, because they're all fighting, and he's like, wait a minute, I'm going to realize that I may have overreacted.
Right.
And I'm going to stop, and I'm not even going to kill the guy who I actually know killed my father. Yeah. Now.
He was like, let me back away from this.
Let me be reasonable and stop with the revenge while they're all trying to kill each other because of it.
Yeah.
Because he's like, even though my father just died, your father died 30 years ago, and you're going to freak out, but that's okay. We're going to do, he is the only adult.
Oh, that reminds me of Zemo listening to his, I guess, his wife's voicemail,
and then he deletes it because he's gonna die. So he, I was like, you could have just left it in the ether.
Yeah,
kind of sad that he deleted. I mean, I think that was he really was gonna kill himself.
Yeah,
he didn't want to be alive, and now he can never listen to that message again.
Right? You played yourself.
It's gone.
Yeah. Can't get it back from the cloud.
Nope.
Anyway, yeah, that was really sad.
Let me see. What else do I have? Oh, okay. So, the fight in Bucky's apartment. There have been so many debates as to the way that Bucky basically uses Steve. Like, when he rolls the grenade at him and Steve puts the shield down on it. And then the part where he basically throws Steve at somebody. Which Matt called Get Help in a throwback to Thor Ragnarok. which was hilarious.
Yes.
But, yeah, I go back and forth on whether I think there's, because I think they've said, I think the Russos have said that there's basically three different Buckys in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
That the one we see at the beginning is kind of somewhere in the middle. He's not really himself yet, but he's not the Winter Soldier, obviously.
Right.
And then he becomes the Winter Soldier again. And then in the, like, the way that the MCU movies do, a nice, good, clean knock to the head resets you after you've been, that's all you gotta do, apparently. After you've been mind controlled. And he goes back to being Bucky completely.
Right.
By the end of the movie. And, that's the scene that other people also hate. Of, Steve and Bucky at the end before they go in Siberia when they're talking about the dot, the redhead.
Yeah, yeah. People hate that scene?
Well,
because he's heterosexual in it?
Yes. Because they take from it that Marvel is forcing you to remember that there's no homo. And it's like, no. What that scene is about is the fact that we don't really know that much about Bucky.
Right.
He wasn't actually in the first Avenger all that much.
Mm-hmm.
Except being a soldier and just being Steve's friend.
Right.
The one thing you know about him that they telegraph to you is that he is a ladies' man.
Yeah.
Like, he likes the women. And this is a way to remind you. This is a, yeah, it's just to show you he is Bucky again.
Right.
He is completely, totally the person that, you know, he's fucked up, just like Steve, but for different reasons. But he is, he is Bucky Barnes again.
Yeah.
And so that's the, so going back to what I was saying was the fight. Okay. I think that he knows Steve well enough that he knows what Steve will do. And
right.
It's not like he's just trying to get rid of Steve.
Yeah. It could be a little bit like if you aren't really following or like you don't really know where Bucky is, then you might be like, what is he doing? Like he's trying to, you know, but I think that by the time that you finish that scene even, right?
Yeah.
You see that that's what he's doing.
Yes.
That he's, so. That they're like working in tandem.
Yes. Because they're getting a little bit, it's not complete, because that's part of the point too,
is
he's not completely there. But yes, I mean, even Steve's like, you're lying. He knows. He's like, no, you're remembering.
Right.
You know, partly because Rumlow told him that he's remembering, but also because he can see enough in the book that it's like, no, you didn't just get this from a museum.
Right.
Yeah. Continuing on from that, so the part with the fight when they're under in the tunnel.
Yeah.
And then Bucky goes for the motorcycle.
Uh-huh.
That's actually practical.
Really?
The way that, the flipping it and shit, they did that for real.
Oh.
Apparently.
That's pretty
but
cool.
But it's one of the scenes that drives me nuts because I don't get what it is with the stuntman that they use for Bucky.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost always perfectly obvious when it's not.
Oh.
Sebastian Stan.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell half the time with half of the other cast, even though I know what their stunt people look like.
Right.
But with Sebastian Stan's stunt person, I can freaking tell. And it's really, really annoying. I'm like, I don't understand what it is. I think with Scarlett Johansson, sometimes it's it's easier to hide her because the wig.
Yeah.
But I can't, I mean, okay, so I don't know if you know this, but the Winter Soldiers are stunt people.
In fact,
they are their stunt people.
Oh, that's cool.
The main guy is the Captain America stunt person. The woman is Heidi Moneymaker, which is Scarlett Johansson's stunt person. So that guy does not look like Chris Evans. But I can never tell when it's him or Chris Evans. But for some reason, it's always really obvious, and I don't get... I'm like, couldn't you not find somebody who looks more like Sebastian Stan or something?
It's kind of weird.
Has more of the profile. I don't know what it is.
Because it's usually, like, the angles, you know, and, like, obviously, like, the height.
They'll do shots where you're like, that's a really tight close-up. You probably should have used Sebastian, because that's obviously not him.
Right.
It's really, really weird, and it's really annoying. And that's one of the scenes that drives me nuts, because, like, it's the part where he's running, I think. I'm like, that's not...
Yeah. Oh.
I'd have to watch it again. I don't remember exactly what it is, but I'm like, I saw that scene. And I was like, oh, that's I can't tell exactly when you move back and forth between the two.
You know Sebastian really too well.
I don't.
For your own good.
I used to be able to tell that when I didn't really care. So
yeah.
I was like, I don't know what it is about him specifically that it doesn't
so
work.
So unique. There's no one like him. You know what I was saying about the twists and like you're like all the flips?
Yeah.
For I know it's for the bike, but for I was like, Black Widow does a lot of them. I really enjoy them.
It's really fun to watch. Like, people make fun of her scissor kick, but it's like, well, she's a petite woman.
Right. Well, what, how is she gonna get the leverage, right?
Yes, exactly. She's using what a move that works for her. Mm-hmm. It's one of the few that it's going to work for her.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know awesome. What? You've awesome. Only got a limited number of moves in your repertoire, I'm sure, you know? So.
I mean, Tony is able to use his Friday to analyze Steve's fight patterns at the end. So even Steve obviously has a pattern that he fights with.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody does, I think.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So. Yes, of course she's going to use the same move over. It looks amazing on film.
Yes, I very much enjoy that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes she like, you know, switches it up, like when she's, like, trying to bonk Bucky on the head. Which was very weird to me. I was like...
Well, on his face.
Yeah. It's very, very sexual.
Which reminds me, the at least you could remember me line. Okay, so there's a debate on whether that is just, okay, because he shot her once.
Yeah.
Or that's alluding to she's realized that he was the one who trained her. I think it's just the shot.
I think it's just the shot.
I think, I mean, in the...
It would be cool if, like, if they're both still around a couple movies from now, mm-hmm. it's gonna be that she remembers.
Yes, it's gonna be because it's going to turn into, obviously.
But otherwise, no.
I think right now it's, You could, I think they leave it purposely vague, so you can take it either way.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, right now it's just, he shot through her at somebody else. And then attacked her. On the bridge, too. So.
And he doesn't remember her? Just disrespectful.
Yeah, it's terrible. He's supposed to remember her, but he doesn't remember Steve.
It's very, that's why it's like, okay, that line is a little bit, it's a bit too much.
Yeah.
But, silly. You know.
I love the, right after he turns back into the Winter Soldier, the shot from the side of him and Steve fighting,
mm-hmm.
and I shouldn't want to see Bucky and Steve fighting, but it's the Winter Soldier, it's fine. I don't know why I love that part, and it's so brief. They're not fighting very long before he shoves them through the elevator.
But it is very poetic.
It is like a dance, and it's actually just really beautiful to watch, and I don't know why I love that so much. It makes you happy. I also love watching at the end when they're throwing the shield back and forth.
Oh yeah, that is fun.
I always like seeing
foreshadowing.
I always like seeing other people use the shield, but I was like, it's really mostly just Bucky. Because you're really, really hammering it in hard.
Yep.
There's even, I think, a cutscene on the DVD where he uses it during the fight at the airport.
Oh!
And, like, he gives it back to Steve, and he's like, I gotta get me one of those or something. And it was like, I'm glad they cut that out. That was really heavy.
It's a bit too much.
Yeah, having the fight at the end was...
Yeah.
That was the way I wanted to pose my... Because I have the Winter Soldier... Or, well, I have Bucky, Steve, and Tony from the Civil War Hot Toys.
Oh, okay.
I really wanted to
pose... You have a lot of these Hot Toys.
I have a lot of Hot Toys. And I only started collecting them, like, 2 years ago.
Wow.
I think when Civil War came out is when we started collecting the Marvel ones. Matt has tons of Star Wars ones, but the Marvel ones are mine. Anyway, but I wanted to pose them, but you can't really get Tony in the Iron Man armor down in the right position. It doesn't say.
How dare he?
It's not right. The BBS burn. As I always describe it. I love the your mom's name was Sarah, and then Sam being like, what, so now we're cool now? Because I honestly, this came out 2 months later, I think it was. 2-3 months, something like that.
So there was no way to know and that there moms was no way to were going to be an important factor in both.
But I honestly felt like that was a serious, like, it was like Marvel made a burn and didn't even know they were doing it. That one made sense.
Yes.
And at least Sam was like, wait, that's enough? I mean, yes, he says, you know, you used to put newspapers in your shoes, but whatever. I think the fact that his mom's name was Sarah probably could have been something he found out from the museum.
That's right, he just Googled it.
Sure, yeah. But, yeah. Sorry, Martha.
Yeah. And then also, having Bucky be the one that killed Tony's mom. Sort of. but also is also very BBS-y, but again, it makes sense because there's a reason behind the Beyond names, yes. Right? It's like, actually something about your mom is upsetting me.
Yes. Yeah. And then he kills her with his real hand, which I've always said I think was a very deliberate thing. That it's not. Because it would feel so much more detached if it was the exactly. metal one. The fact that it's the human one.
It's more emotional.
Yeah. It's very... Oh, it's very bad. Oh, okay, so besides Black Panther, obviously, the other obvious and amazing part of this movie was the introduction to Spider-Man. If you ignore that, then Homecoming happened. And really
you are
Spider-Man.
Just... Y'all are just Homecoming haters.
You're so
Homecoming It's not that bad.
Haters.
But yes, he was great in Civil War.
He is amazing. And I'm so glad. And like Matt likes to say, he saw the movie four times in the theater, and it was like that half hour watched four times made he watch one really good Spider-Man movie. This was before Homecoming came out, and then ruined it for him. But yeah, it was so nice because it was like, and I have to say, I was one of the people who before I'd never heard of Tom Holland. Nobody had.
Either. No, yeah. I don't even know what he's done before Spider-Man.
He was Billy Elliot in the West End, is like the biggest.
Sure, okay.
Yeah, he hadn't really done a lot. Anyway, I was really on the side of Asa Butterfield.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I actually really, but I'm really glad they went with Tom Holland, because Tom Holland is, like, he's a perfect Peter Parker, and he's a great Spider-Man in the Russo Brothers movies.
Yeah, and I was just like, do we need Peter Parker again, for the love of God? But then, and so then when they cast Tom Holland, I was like, whatever, but he is the best one that we've had, the best Peter Parker, so he's fine. At least now we have a good Peter Parker.
Like, and they gloss over. They're like, you guys know all the story. You know, Tony, they play it as Tony not having time to listen to the story. But it's, yeah, you all know the story. We don't have to tell you that. Mm-hmm. But the only thing that drives me nuts is, we talked about it when we were watching the film, is the line about Aunt May. The line of, I can't believe she's someone's aunt. This is the stupidest fucking line. And it's obvious, like, I get that it's a wink, nudge, nudge, we cast a younger woman. Like, she's still 50. So but she's not the ridiculously old person that they have in the comics. But it was just, somebody could be an aunt at, like, 20.
Exactly.
Somebody,
it is, like,
I know somebody like her who response, was an aunt at, like, 12.
Yeah, her response is cute, because it's like, we come in all shapes and sizes or whatever, because, like, you can be an aunt. Like, I was an aunt before I was born, because my sister had a kid before I was born. So,
there you go. So, I was going to say, I did know somebody who was 12, and she had a much older sister, and yes, she had an aunt. Or she had a kid, so she was an aunt.
So, yeah, anyone can be an aunt or an uncle at any time. So that's stupid. It is a dumb line. But
Tony then says something when they're in the bedroom, alluding, like, you're
abnormally attractive
aunt. That's all. That would have been enough.
Yeah.
That,
even though,
really,
again, it's not like,
it's not necessary.
Aunts have to be unattractive.
Yes. But if you wanted to have some kind of reference to it, that would have, at least that one kind of works. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was just, I hate that. It pulled me out of the movie the first time I saw it, and it still really annoys me. I don't know why it annoys me so much.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just like a clunker line of dialogue.
Yeah, it's really.
And there's so many good ones in the movie, so it stands out.
Yeah. I never noticed this before, but when Clint comes to get Wanda, and she uses her power on Vision, the stone actually changes color. It changes to red.
Oh.
And, like, I was thinking about it, I'm like, it's almost like she has power over the stone? Because shouldn't she not really be able to, like, do anything to Vision, too? Because if he has an affinity stone?
One would think, but I guess it's like he said, he doesn't understand it, or he can't control it.
Yeah. So it's, but like, somehow she can a little bit, because, like, it literally changes to red. I was like, weird. I never noticed that before. I was not paying that much attention to him.
That is weird. But yeah.
I don't know.
Do Infinity Stones change colors?
I mean, it had a housing before that was blue, but now it's yellow. But then it turns red when she's using her power, which comes from that stone. What do you think, Matt? No thoughts. okay.
Yeah. Maybe it's because of love, true love, you know? Yeah. That is the greatest power of all, after all.
I feel like I should have said, well, I'm going through my notes, so mm-hmm. obviously these come in order and they don't always make sense in the context of the way we're talking.
Right.
How long was Tony thinking of recruiting Spidey, going back to that, because he has the suit ready for him.
Oh, yeah.
And he didn't obviously, like, have time to create, I mean, Tony's great, but
not that, yeah.
Not that fast.
That is true. I mean, yeah, obviously he had already heard about this kid and had already figured out who it was, unless he went knocking on all the doors in Queens, which is unlikely. So yeah, I think he must have been already planning on having his own little junior Avengers or something. And also that he only got, like, one recruit, or, like, two recruits. He's like, the thing.
He got one, and Natasha got one.
Yeah. Winter. So it was a little bit weird, like, yes, I've been keeping Peter in my back pocket until I needed to use him for something. I've been
keeping this kid, who I think is supposed to be 15 in this movie?
Right, probably.
I think he's supposed to be 15, not 16, something like that.
Yeah, because he's 16 in Homecoming, right?
Although Homecoming does take place immediately after, but it takes place over several months anyway.
His birthday happens somewhere in there.
There you go. And going back to the idea of the Russos and Marcus and McFeely doing a better version of Spider-Man than the Homecoming movie did, he actually has Spidey sense.
Yes.
Because he is looking one way, and he turns around and is like, oh, when Bucky throws something at
him. Right, and then he's going to have it again in Infinity War.
And he's going to have it again in Infinity War.
Just goes to show.
For some reason, he does not have it in his own fucking movie. Because, you know, they had to turn him into Iron Lad. Iron Lad, which is Matt is now calling him.
He wanted to say Iron Lad Jr., okay. But Iron Lad Jr. It was redundant.
It was redundant. when he says, this was my new theory. Okay, so the Empire Strikes Back line, that really old movie, Empire Strikes Back, which does feel really weird because Star Wars is everywhere.
Right.
But consider this. What if in the MCU, there are no other Star Wars movies? There's just the original trilogy. Oh,
like it
we
should
don't even
be.
Have, yeah, we don't even have prequels.
Amazing.
That would make sense then.
That would make sense.
Because yes, if he wasn't like, if Ben and May never exposed him to it.
Right, then he would just think it's an old movie. Just, yeah. You
know, yeah, it's just some
it's
old
like
movie.
It's like shading your own parent company. Marvel can get away with that.
I know, right? Mm-hmm. There you go. a stupid, like, random pet peeve. And this is actually only I realized it when I saw the date in Russian.
Oh.
Of the 16th December 1991. Mm-hmm. Is, okay, why does a European Zemo keeps saying, I did almost say Nemo.
Nemo, yeah.
Anyway, why does Zemo keep saying December 16, 1991 when he's European and he would have said 16 December 1991?
Maybe because he's been studying Captain America for so long that he learned how Captain America says his dates.
But he says it to other people.
I want to say it like Captain America says it.
He's so obsessed.
No, this is probably because Americans wrote this movie.
Yes. Because Americans wrote it and didn't think about it. But then somebody doing the screen was obviously not like, no, it's Russian. It would
this
be 16
correct.
December 1991. Yeah.
That's funny. Okay, and at one point you were so emotional and so in the dark that you had three notes in one.
Yeah, I'm literally looking. I still can't figure out what they all say. Black Panther is the adult. Honestly, though, oh, that's the beginning of my. Like at the end, I really thought when I watched it the first time, I was like, is he going to decapitate Tony?
Oh,
God. I knew it wasn't actually going to happen, but I was like, holy crap!
It was getting intense.
And the way he comes down with the shield, that's obviously what you're supposed to think.
Yeah.
But I honestly, for a split second, was like, wait, what?
You bought into it.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, speaking of intensity, I really liked Hawkeye in that scene in the jail at the end. He's like pissed at Tony.
It's so realistic.
Yeah. I really believed his anger. And then when Tony was like, oh, you're a married man with kids, and it's like, all right.
Yeah, seriously, Tony, take some fucking responsibility because you fucked up.
Yeah, but then
he already knows he fucked up at that point.
He knew. And then Hawkeye, speaking of, we didn't really talk about Rhodey breaking his back.
Oh, yeah.
But Hawkeye then says, like, oh, watch your back or he'll break it or whatever. I was like, Jesus.
Yeah, that
Lord.
Was too soon.
Yeah.
That was much
Poor
too
Rhodey,
soon.
Poor Rhodey, though. I was kind of mad about that, but at the same time, I'm relieved because in Civil War II, which was coming out at that time, you know, in the comics, Marvel trying to capitalize on the movie, and it was shit, don't read Civil War II, Rhodey dies. And I was like, what the fuck is this? So
at least they didn't kill him.
So, yeah, I was concerned when I think they're, like, you saw, like, something of it in the trailer, like, he goes down or something, and I was like, but no, he was okay.
And, you know, it's honestly great for Don Cheadle now, because, like, you did that, you're not actually going to kill
him.
Yeah,
right.
And I think they, like, they talked, because that was another of the nitpicks people had, was that all that fighting, and no one dies, and the, like, the worst thing that happens is what happened to Rhodey.
Yeah, but if someone died, then that's, you're not gonna come back from that.
Yes, that's game, that, and that's what they said, was, that's game over.
Right.
How can you ever sympathize with those, like, you would never be able to understand that person, like, that would just, it would have been awful.
Like, and
even if it was the same way.
Yeah.
But Rhodey died. And it was, but it was Vision, and so it was friendly fire, basically.
Right.
You would still, I mean, you would blame everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it would, yeah, it would just be impossible to come back from that. Like, you, yeah. It's one thing, too, in Infinity War and Avengers 4,
have to die in the face of an opponent.
Another, a villain who is, but to die because of
infighting.
In fighting with your friends, because everybody's being stupid.
Yeah, that was bullshit. Fucking talk. Yeah.
Yes, there's, yeah, you wouldn't be able to come back from that. So I completely understand that. But at least somebody had to, there had to be some kind of price paid.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, how else were you going to get Rhodey and Tony off of the Quinjet?
Right.
It was the only, honest, it was the only way to stop them both. Because, like, you take one of them out, the other one keeps going. Unless
they have had to help to the other one. The other. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. For sure. But yeah, overall, a good movie.
Yeah. I think it's now number 4 on my list.
Yeah. I think it's like number 4 or number 5 for me. It's definitely top 5. It's definitely the second best Captain America movie.
Yes.
And the best Avengers movie for me.
Yes. I agree.
And so yeah. Yeah, it's good. It's good.
I love it.
Yeah.
I watch it a lot because it's, well, I mean, it's on Netflix, and I have the digital copy, so it's easy to just,
so you,
like,
watch
start...
nothing but that movie.
It's easy to start streaming it, really, like, all the time. Yeah. I do watch nothing but that. Like I said, I haven't watched it in several months, so it was nice, actually, because there was, I was like, oh, that's right, okay, this is the order it goes in. I don't have it all memorized. That felt good.
Like, there's surprises here.
I know, right? I probably mostly had Winter Soldier memorized.
Oh, I have one final point that I wanted to say.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I know that it's not the case, but because Alfred Woodward is like Miriam, what are that lady that sets Tony off on his decisions? And, you know, then she's in Luke Cage and she's Mariah Dillard. And I definitely thought that for, I was like, is that actually Mariah for a second? I had to Google it. I was like, nope, it's not her. They already said it was not her. But I was still like, I feel like she's just faking it. Nah, I don't believe her. Because I know she doesn't have a son. And she just wanted to fuck things up for Tony.
There you go. That's an interesting way to look at
that
it.
That is all.
Yes. That's funny.
Yes. I know she's, they cast her here before they knew that she was going to be in Luke Cage. But
because
still.
RDJ pushed for her.
Yes,
yeah.
He did.
He said she would be good for that role.
And she was.
And she was.
Even
and
though now she's faking it, because she's Mariah.
And she was good in Luke Cage, but...
Yeah. She, I loved her in Luke Cage as the, like, you know, face-off against Cottonmouth.
Yes.
But then
the
once,
first half of the season. Yeah. But when she becomes the villain, it just
and then, because fucking Shades. I can't stand Shades. Yeah. And I can't... And that dynamic was weird. It's whatever. All right. It's fine. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah. Is she in season 2?
I would assume so, because they don't really...
But I haven't really seen very much about filming, which it comes out, what, the summer,
Right. Yeah, I have no idea what's going on.
I did just see what Danny Rand's in it. So they are actually going to have...
Well, at least they'll have the friendship.
Yeah.
That is when he's at his best.
Yes. What they should do is just have him in that show. And
not his own show. Yeah, exactly.
But they are doing Iron Fist 2.
Womp. Well,
maybe
turned Iron Fist 2 into Daughters of the Dragon. And
give it to a different showrunner, and maybe it would be okay.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, is Scott Buck still doing season 2?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay, good.
I think he's gone.
Woo!
I think Marvel was like, no.
Okay, I'm glad. Because it's like, that was 2 strikes already.
Yes.
I think we're good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, please don't. Anyway.
I think that's enough.
Yeah.
I think that's everything.
Yeah. Catch us next week for...
Yes. Next week we will be doing Doctor Strange, and which you hate.
No, I don't hate it. Let's not be... let's not be...
And Guardians 2.
And Guardians 2. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
TTYL.
Thank you for joining us. As always, for more news, reviews, interviews, etc., on withanaccent.com, and then videos on With an Accent TV, which is our YouTube. And you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and Tumblr, actually, at With an Accent, and then at Pop a la Carte Pod for the podcast itself. All right. Thank you very much, and we'll be back next week.
Bye.
Bye.